Hey, you're live on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
Just the two of us today, this week.
Isn't that a song? Just the two of us.
It is.
Just by, you and I?
By Will Smith.
No! Isn't that Boys to Men?
I thought Will Smith sang that.
I have no idea.
Into the Google we go. I'm sure it's like an old song or something like that.
I can hear it in my head.
Now that I think of it. Bill it Withers and Grover Washington. I can't believe I gave Will Smith that. But Will Smith did sing, I think.
I think there was a remix. I think I was like maybe four.
Yes, Will Smith did.
Okay.
He did sing it. But Grover Washington sang it.
Okay.
It was in 1997. You were a baby.
I was.
Whatever. All right. Thanks to all of our patrons for supporting the show. We appreciate the support that you give us, not just to keep the show going, but also to keep the many things that we do for community service, such as Stop the Bleed programs and security training for civic organizations. Keeps it at no cost to our communities. We appreciate the support you guys give us for that. Oh, man, we don't really have a lot going on for the news.
Same old shit, different day.
Dude, I'm so tired of it. Cool video.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're
You
going
should
with this.
Definitely literally stop what you're doing and look up this video. Look up the video of the LAPD officers pulling a man from his crashed Cessna on the train tracks, literally seconds before a train smashes into the plane.
Yeah.
You want to talk about scene safety in a emergency response situation, man. These guys are just absolutely do a phenomenal job of getting this guy out of the plane on time. It was a great video. It was good to see. It was really good to see, actually. Especially in today's age, it's nice to see positive stuff like that. Other than that, I don't know what other news there is.
Coronavirus.
That's the same old shit.
One of our daughters actually had a meeting after school. She does every Tuesday. She likes to be part of some organization. And they canceled the meeting because coronavirus is skyrocketing right now.
Yeah, everyone's getting the flu.
And or everybody who's vaccinated is getting sick.
Yeah, all these freaking vaccinated people are getting sick. I don't understand that at all.
I don't either. It's shocking.
Like telling someone that you have to wear a diaper so you don't pee your pants.
Yeah.
You have to get vaccinated so I don't get sick. But you're vaccinated and you're getting sick.
Yeah.
In fact, the record of sick people in the hospital are mostly all vaccinated. It's insane.
Yep.
And mandates are coming again. And it's like, where are the dead people? It's insanity. I can't even. And it's all day, every fucking day. So keep doing that shit. Other than that, Redwire gear moment for this week. John's not here, so I get to do it for him. When was the last time you checked your zero? And that means zero and offset of your zero before your zero distance on your rifles, even your handguns, your shotgun, with your preferred load. So if that's a self-defense load, if that's a hunting load, if that's a competition load, whatever it is, when was the last time you really checked your zero and made sure that your gun was as good as it could be? And if it's been a little while and you've just kind of been shooting and haven't really benched that thing or viced it or really tried that hard to zero it nice and tight, you're missing out on the accuracy you could be having. So check your zero with the load. You're most likely going to shoot through that gun. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. Okay, on to the topic. I think this is the fastest we've ever got to a topic.
I think so.
Yeah. Sorry we're late this week, by the way, as one of my friends and one of our trainers jokingly says sometimes, sorry I'm late, I didn't want to be here. Not that I didn't want to be here, but we've been so damn busy with training. We had training all day yesterday. We were trying to on Monday.
Well, then I was sick.
And Drew she got the sniffles. And we had training all week last week that went into a weekend of training. Drew got a little under the weather. Flu, just a regular cold
head
or whatever. Regular head cold.
3-day head cool.
No madness. But we had lots of training and just lots of work, and we kept meaning to pre-record the show, and we just kept so freaking busy with training sometimes. Sometimes, I do have to tell you guys, sometimes when people ask me, like, well, what's your schedule like? I don't even tell them the truth. That's true. I've been lying to people about my schedule for 12 years now. And I'll be honest, and there's some of you out there right now that can nod your head to this. If I told you what my schedule really was, you'd have a fucking heart attack. And that's how much we work and how little we train or how little we sleep and how much we train and how little we get time to really focus on ourselves. Some people are like, man, sure, sometimes it takes you a while to respond. And I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, I just trained for 20 straight days. Yes, it took me a little while to respond to your email. I'm sorry. You know, like, and that wasn't just me. Half the team was doing it or whatever.
Yeah.
And for those of our instructors who aren't actively training, they've all got full-time jobs. And most of their full-time jobs are incredibly full-time. And most of our guys are self-employed. So they're also, you know, grinding and hustling every day.
Yep.
A lot going on. Most of our instructors are doing 2 or 3 or some of them even 4 different things. We don't employ slouches, really. So we have people who are constantly doing shit and busy. So we apologize that we're late this week. It wasn't our intention. But here we are.
Here we are.
So we love you. And that's why we're here. The topic for the day, for the week, I mean, is the gear line system and why you might want to re-examine yours. And I'm going to break the line system down into the 3 traditional lines, the 4th line that I've always kind of considered to exist, and then I'm going to give you the 5th line, and I think that the 5th line is kind of important here. The first line is what you carry on your body all the time, your EDC as it's called, the everyday carry. What do you carry with you all the time? And I don't mean sometimes, but all the time. I would even say that for a lot of people, guns, handguns, are not part of their first line gear. Because a lot of people who are into guns or into this lifestyle don't carry their guns all the time.
This is true.
And they don't carry them for a variety of different reasons. And so then because they don't carry them, it's not really technically part of their first line, because is it Thursday? Do I carry my gun on Thursday? Like, oh, I'm not dressed the right way, or oh, I'm going to this place and, you know, I don't wanna, and that's okay if that's how it is, but don't consider something that you only carry sometimes as part of your first line. Like, your cell phone could be part of your first line. Most people will turn around and go back home if they forgot their cell phone, you know? So your cell phone could be part of your first line. Your wallet, a pocket knife, your keys, you know, a flashlight, something that you're gonna carry with you all the time, everywhere, no matter what. And even I can't carry my gun everywhere, right? Because we got to get on airplanes and stuff like that. So I would consider a gun part of my first line, because I go out of my way to carry guns. I inconvenience myself to carry guns. And that's just – so it's part of my first line. But you really have to think, what is part of your first line? And part of the first line that most of the gear queers do not – realize or think about is the clothing that you choose to wear. And I told this story on the show before, I know. I'm going to tell it again. When I was a Boy Scout leader many, many years ago, there was a young man who was supposed to be getting picked up by his dad. And we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And we called his dad and there's no answer. And I'm just like, fuck, man. You know, it's been like, you're like 30 minutes, you know, I'm gonna have to take you home or something, you know, because I ain't gonna keep waiting for your pops. And like, I don't know, I don't want him to show up here, and then you're not here, and then there's that big rigmarole. Finally, the dad rolls in. He's about 35 minutes late or so, and he climbs out. It's middle of winter. I'm living in Prescott at the time. It's cold as hell. It's probably, you know, easily in the 30s, low 30s. And this guy hops out of the car. He's absolutely shivering. He's got the shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt on with like a light, kind of a light pullover sweater thing. And I said, hey man, what's going on? You get hung up there? Oh man, sorry, I didn't call you. I just saw, I missed your call. I've been trying to get here. Like, I'm driving down the road, had a flat tire. You know, I'm like, I just hopped in the car. Obviously, I didn't dress properly, and I just hopped in the car to come down here and get my boy. oh, man, I had nasty blowout. I'm like, on the side of the road. It's cold. There's like a little bit of, you know, snow, ice, slush shit on the ground. He's trying to change the tire, and, he, you know, he's freezing, and it took him a long. He had to keep jumping back in the car to warm up. He's trying to hurry, of course, because he knows he's late, and then he something happened with his phone. I don't remember what it was, but, you know, dropped it in the seat or some bullshit like that. So he tells me the whole story. I'm like, wow, that's a hell of a reason to be late. You know, that's good. That's appreciate, you know, that story. Why are you wearing fucking flip-flops, man? I'm out here with your boy trying to teach him how to be self-reliant and shit as a Boy Scout. And he's got you as a fucking example. It's 30-something degrees, and there's slushy snow leftover shit from, you know, last week's snowstorm on the ground, and you're driving around. And I get that you were just running down to the pick up the boy. It's a 10-15 minute drive for you, man. And you had a flat tire. And surprise, your shorts and your freaking sandals didn't do you any favors. It's cold out there. No gloves. Didn't have the right tools to change a tire, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My point is, and I will easily say this, I think about the clothes I put on before I put them on.
Absolutely.
What's the weather going to be like today? What activities am I going to do? Are there days I'm rocking board shorts and tennis shoes or maybe even some sandals, you know, around town? Yeah, man, for sure. If I, you know, if I'm not expecting the weather to turn sour, if it's a nice, easy day, you know, if I don't need to carry a lot of equipment, if I, you know, but I used to hang out with this dude. And kind of like Johnny, he said, I never wear sandals in public. And I said, why don't you ever wear sandals in public, man? And he said, I don't know when I'm going to have to fucking run someone down or outrun someone.
So you know what?
I was like, okay, all right. So you always have, he's like, I always wear closed-toed shoes. I don't know when I might have to run someone down or outrun someone. And ever since then, this guy's name was Ken. Ever since Ken told me that, I'm like, man, you know what? And that was years ago. Now, whenever I put on sandals and leave the house, I literally cannot leave the house in sandals and not remember what Ken said and think to myself, could I straight up, like, native kick off my sandals and run across the desert to chase some shithead down?
So when I was a little kid, I used to try and sleep in my shoes because I was afraid there was going to be a house fire and I'd have to run out of my house really quickly. And I always wanted shoes on my feet, which is weird because even in my young elementary, middle school, high school, even today, I always think about, am I going to have to be doing something later that it's okay for me to be wearing this outfit?
Yeah.
Is this outfit going to hold up to whatever need be? Which is why I always carry a pair of shoes in my car. If anybody knows me, I always have another pair of running shoes in my car. Not for running, but because if I wear sandals or heels or anything like that, I can swap my shoes out pretty quickly.
A lot of the times when I do leave the house with sandals on, I will throw my boots in the back seat.
Yeah.
And that's just in case, man. In case, yeah, I'm in my sandals and I have a flat tire or whatever, you know.
I mean, I don't mind changing. I've changed many tires in my sandals. That doesn't bother me. It's in the heat doesn't bother me.
I'm thinking more of, you know, cold, it's raining, yeah, or it's cold or whatever. I don't want to drop a fucking tire on my little exposed tootsies. But I think part of it is people not thinking about what they're leaving the house in.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, and now I'm going to talk about that tribe concept here. What are your people leaving the house in? Because what they're wearing can affect your capability and your sustainability as well. There's nothing wrong with telling your kid, hey, man, it's freaking cold outside. Go put some pants on instead of shorts. Or, hey, get a better coat. You know, that's not a heavy enough coat.
Yep.
Or whatever it is that you need to change about what they're doing. You know, put a hat on. We're going to be in the sun all day. You know,
like, yeah,
that's how it goes. Mm-hmm. You know, and if I'm with other guys, I'll be like, you fucking wearing that? We're going hiking in the desert, man. That's what you're going to wear. Yeah, dude, you're going to get... We're in thick brush, dude. It's going to tear your fucking legs up. You know, go put some pants on or whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever, yeah, it may be. It's like people around you, you got to kind of be aware of what their first line gear is too. You know, I'm not asking my guys like, all right, empty your pockets. Let's see. You got your pocket knife. You got your flashlight. Got your. I don't fucking care, really. Honestly, I don't care.
Yeah.
what, but the clothing that they have on, that's more likely going to impact our day to day. So, I really, you know what I really think the most about my clothing?
What?
When we fly. Because it's like the one time I'm being transported that I can't control the quality of the transportation. So, like, God forbid you crashed and survived, what would you be wearing?
And, you know, I always try to look my best on airplanes, as you know. I like to dress up, so.
Yeah, Drew likes to dress up anyway. But yeah, it's like I think I wouldn't want to crash and be in, like, my jammies like you see some of these freaking
– peasants.
People in, you know. You're like, why are you wearing – like, I get that's probably comfy, but no thanks, man.
Yeah.
What if something – what if it's like a layover or something? Like, I've had flights canceled. I've missed flights, shit. And they're like, hey, you're going to have to go, you know, snooze at the freaking – hotel, you know, at the airport hotel for, you know, 6 hours or something for your flight takes off. You know, you're like, oh shit. And now you're like, I don't know, wandering around the hotel in your jammers, like going to get something to eat or whatever. It's like, man, that's not how I want to be represented.
Not only that, but you look like trash.
That's what I'm saying. It's not how I want to be represented. Your first line gear is important.
It is.
It's what's on your body. It's the quality of the stuff that's on your body.
And it's, are you being presentable? I'm going to go on my little tantrum and just be like, people who wake up and then just throw whatever and look like hillbillies, just how can you expect to do your best when you look like shit?
I grew up with hillbillies and I wouldn't necessarily say they look like shit.
I mean, like the people, the white trash.
White trash. Please do not lump my people in with white trash. Right? Rednecks and hillbillies, that's my people.
I mean, like, your Honkies Walmart, unite. Your Walmart people who wear their, what, okay, so the biggest thing that gets under my skin is people who wear their pajamas out in public and have their, like, bathrobes on, or if they're wearing their slippers anywhere. I'm like, you're a disgusting human being. You probably should just go kill yourself.
Well, here's what's the nastiest thing about that, right? They're going to go out into public and, like, touch all the public stuff in their jammies and their slippers and shit.
And then they go home.
And then they go home. Get back in bed. And they, like, get back in bed, like, lay around the house and that shit. And I'm like, ugh. Like, you touched all the public stuff.
I know.
Gross. The other aspect of it is literally, like, the quality of the stuff that you're putting
in. Yes.
You know, people.
If people can see through your clothes, and you have probably maybe four or five more holes than you need to have.
Well, I don't even mean just like new or used or old or whatever. I mean like the quality of your physical quality, durability of your clothing. You know, and I'm not saying you got to run out and buy really expensive pants. Freaking, you know, Dickies canvas style pants are probably $30 and they're phenomenally durable. I'm not saying you have that expensive shit. I'm just saying, like, the quality of your first line gear. If you're listening to this kind of show and you want to be prepared and self-reliant, then the quality matters too. It's like pocket knives. You know, I'm not going to buy my pocket knife from the gas station and expect it to be a quality knife. You know, some Chicom, you know, $5 fucking pocket knife. No, it's not the same as my Benchmade. It's not. It's not the same. So that's just kind of, you know, the quality is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Second line gear. Now, some people call this second light or second heavy, and that's kind of a light load or a heavy load based on what you're going to be doing. A second line gear as a normal person, to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that enables me to access more equipment. So that's going to be things like stuff I might put in on a belt system, stuff, my coat, what I can put inside the internal pockets of my coat, what I can put on under my coat, right? There's chest rigs I can put on under my coat. And they don't just have to access ammo. They may have comms and med and sustainment supplies in them. But I can throw a chest rig on or my, you know, Hill People gear pack. That is a good second line piece of gear that we use while we're running or while we're hiking. That's second line. It's something I'm adding. Now, this can go all the way up to a plate carrier or I'll date myself here, but an LBE or LBV system, right? Where load-bearing equipment, load-bearing vest, like, you know, something like that where you're just adding equipment to your body now. And whether that needs to be hidden or whether it can be, you know, overt or covert kind of situation, whether it needs to be hidden or whether it can be out in the open, well, so be it. But you got to kind of consider, like, what's a light and what's a heavy loadout for it. To me, if I'm going heavy on my second line, that means I'm putting on my plate carrier, my belt system, you know, a fighting load. That to me is a heavy second gear. A light second gear could be more like my Hill People gear pack, a Red Wire gear, you know, minimalist rack, something like that, right? Yeah. Or whatever. I can't remember what John calls it. Sorry, John, if I fucked up the name of that thing. But it's like my favorite. It's literally my favorite pieces of gear. And I have it set up so it can hold ammo, it can hold comms, it can hold sustainment. It's very mission adaptable, and I like it that way.
Yeah.
So to me, that's second line equipment. You know, what's stuff I can quickly add to me. This kind of equipment should be considered more mission specific. Like, what am I trying to accomplish? My Hill People gear pack that I keep in my truck, my little chest rig there. I've got one of the recons. It's a good pack. In there, I've got some first aid stuff. I've got some extra lights. I've got my little 8-power monocular. I've got my GPS transponder. I've got a water filter. I've got some gloves. I've got a neck gaiter. Got extra batteries for my battery hungry equipment. I've got a knife sharpener. Got some other little small kind of boo boo, you know, first aid stuff. With that kit, I'm just adding those types of tools so that if I want to walk over there, I'm the kind of guy, I get the urge to just walk over there real quick. And so if I want to walk over there real quick, I'm going to grab my big water bottle and I'm going to grab, you know, my Hill People gear pack and I'm going to go. And then that adds the things that I need for that kind of, we'll say, mission.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to go into a gunfight or a serious self-defense situation or something like that where I have time to grab something, then yeah, that's going to be ammo heavy. You know, if I'm going into fighting, it's really just ammo and med. I don't really think of all the other stuff, you know, just like if I'm gunfighting, I need more bullets. That's it. So that's how I think of it. And then when we start going heavier, well, now we're adding those other elements. Now I'm adding more sustainment items. I'm adding maybe some escape and evasion type stuff. I'm adding, you know, comms and comms carriers. And, you know, carrying comms is cool, but remember, you got to have someone to comms with. So I don't have comms hanging off of all my shit because I'm not always in a team comming, you know, communicating with people all the time. I don't need that, you know. And some of my setups are comms heavy because if I'm putting that on, it's because I'm going to be in a comms rich environment. Communicating with my other people potentially. And so I need to add that. But even my carrier is relatively simple. I mean, I got a carrier here in the arms room. I'm looking at it right now. I have a basic utility pouch. I've got a small blade on it. It's mostly a get off me blade. And then I've got some gloves. I got a little extra med, got a couple pistol mags, couple rifle mags, and some extra batteries, I think, in there. And that's it. That's all I got on that pack. That's all I need. And I got a little backpack on the back if I want to throw some extra items in there or something like that. So extra shit I might need to carry around. So that's it. Like, to me, even that to me is still heavy, you know. And I know there's a big concept right now. You float around the internet. Everyone's talking about, oh, all these idiots out there with their little recce rigs and 3 mags. They're all going to fucking die in gunfights because they don't understand it's a sustained fight. You need lots of ammo and you shoot, break contact.
Who the fuck are you going to be in a sustained mags. Fight with?
But this is the argument, right? So some people are like, no, your heavy loadout needs to have, you know, combat loadout, you know, 300, 400 rounds. We're you know, 300 to 420 rounds. We're going to have the comms. We're going to back up comms. We've got a primary med kit. We're going to have your big fucking fixed blade for whatever it is you do with those giant fucking knives and all this other shit. And it's
that's
like,
insane.
This is a lot of stuff, yeah. Man. So here's my challenge to you. It's me. I don't fucking care what you have. Honestly, I will make fun of you for some shit. That is a fact. But I don't ultimately care what you buy. It's your money and it's your life and it's your stuff and it's your context. You do what you want. But here's my challenge to you. With your first and second line gear, get in and out of vehicles.
Yeah.
Move around a lot. Like, go for a run. Crawl through your backyard.
Hike.
Go for some hikes.
Yeah.
Walk your dog. Go up and down the stairs.
Play with your kids.
Play with your kids. Get in different shooting positions. Try to smash yourself behind a barrier, i.e. cover. Or something I have to get behind so I can make a good shot. Reload from all those crazy pouches you have. Access the gear in all those crazy pouches you have. Then make the choice based on where you want stuff and why.
Yeah.
And then make the choice based on how much stuff you want to carry.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, man, 420 rounds.
It's a fucking lot.
It's a lot to carry around and get in and out of vehicles. And people are like, well, when I was in the Army, I could get in and out of Humvees.
20 years
ago. Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, and I know Humvees are small. And maybe, you know, even the modern MRAPs and all that are pretty small, too. But I know the insides are small. But, you know, look at the doors. And I'm not saying that this is true for everybody. But look at the door of your average military vehicle and the amount of space in and around that vehicle. And then look at the door in your vehicle and the amount of space in and around that vehicle. If you had your first and second line gear on, can you jump in the seat of your vehicle and drive away or maneuver inside the vehicle? And maybe the answer is yes. I'm not saying what you have isn't going to work. I'm just saying make sure you test it. You know, climb a ladder, get up on your roof, climb a tree, move around, go for a run. Like, do stuff. Do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Go to the range and train in it. You know, I will never poo-poo on someone for training in their gear. I will tell you that there are inappropriate times, or not maybe not inappropriate, but there are less effective times to do it. But look, you show up to a defensive carbine class with your kid on, you're not going to hear a word one from me. I think it's awesome. Get out there and fucking train your kit. That's rad.
Yeah.
Just make the kit functional. And if you want to carry 420 rounds or 300 rounds or whatever, fucking rock out, man. Just make sure that you can do all the things you need to do with it. And if you're the guy who thinks, oh, I only need two mags or three mags or whatever because I'm going to hit and move like a little guerrilla warfare situation, okay, that's fine. That's awesome. And that's very contextual for you maybe. Also consider, where are you going to move to? Are you going back somewhere to resupply? Are you battlefield scavenging? Like, you know, how are you getting those things full? And what if in the heat of the moment, because all you ever do is practice throwing your fucking empty magazines on the ground like an idiot every single time, and you toss a couple of them on the ground and you only carry three, but the only way you ever train to reload is to throw your magazine like it's a fucking dirty diaper, and then you go to reload and, oh my God, you are out of magazines because you scattered them hither and yon and now you can't necessarily go back and get them. Now, maybe those 10 mags ain't looking so bad.
Yeah.
I'm not saying carry the 10 mags because that seems like a great idea until you got to hump that shit everywhere you fucking go or you got to get in and out of the vehicle. You're trying to get low to the ground because someone's shooting at your ass and you're like, fuck, I wish I had less magazines. This shit won't let me get low enough. I'm not saying there's a right way or a wrong way. I'm just saying make sure it's the right way for you. That second line gear can get real crazy real quick. Now, the third line gear, that's your sustainment stuff. This is the stuff we're doing for a long haul. This is what we call the, you know, the get-home bag or the bug-out bag or rucks or packs or whatever it is you want to call them. This is your sustainment. This is the thing I'm going to throw on that's usually not going to be immediately accessible and that I might ditch in the heat of the moment, meaning I may drop this pack here, go over there, and then come back to this pack. That's a realistic scenario. I might have to put this down so that I can go over here and start a campfire and cook my meal, but the pack is just right over there. That's my sustainment. It's not on me. It's not part of my equipment, but it's part of my sustainment. So sustainment. And same thing with this as with the second line gear. My pet peeve in this world is people saying, well, if I had to, let me just stop you right there. You are not going to magically grow skills and abilities. Yeah, but that one time that mom lifted that car off her kid. Okay, first of all, I don't know where the fuck that story came from. And second of all, if that even happened, which is very possible, that mom wasn't some freaking overweight, diabetic, gender-confused, you know, purple-haired fruitcake talking shit about Trump and vaccines on the internet.
Yeah.
She was some proud woman, Wonder Woman fit, badass motherfucker that when she got a adrenaline boost because her child was in danger, she caved woman grappled a fucking car off of them to save their life. And she may have only had to raise it an inch for all we know. And it could have been a Honda Civic for all we know. Yeah. Or a VW Bug or something like that. We don't even know if the story even is true. My point is, under stress, your skills can be amplified, but they still can only be what they're capable of being. So no, if you're overweight, can't ruck, or you're like, back in 1996 when I was in the Army, man, we used to ruck fucking 15, 20 miles every day. I used to run 10 miles a day. They had PTSD, we threw up. You don't even know what my Army was like, boy. Okay, maybe that's all true in 1996. How you looking these days, 1996? It's been a couple years, yeah. Like, I don't know, 25 of them. How's it looking? Are you doing as well as you were doing? Maybe you are. Maybe you're some badass dude and you've kept it up and you look good and you're fit. Maybe you're more fit now in your 40s, 50s, 60s than you've ever been, and my hat's off to you. I love that. But that's a small percentage of society. The rest of us have let it go a little bit for any number of reasons. Greater responsibilities, laziness, apathy, whatever. Name it. Be realistic about what you're sustaining. I would rather, honestly, I would rather have a dry weight, 20, maybe 30-pound pack that has everything I need in it. That way I can shove a bunch of water in there. That's why I say dry weight, because remember, water's fucking 8 pounds a gallon, basically. And that shit gets heavy real fast. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to throw a couple of gallons on easily, if not more. So dry weight, 20, maybe 30 pounds. That's my pack goal. It's not some 60-pound ruck like I'm going to be living out of it for weeks or months on end. Because if I am living out of it for weeks or months on end, then my mission has changed drastically, and I need to consider other lines of gear, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute. Because I'm not going to live out of a pack and have all the food, all the water, and all the everything I need out of one backpack for weeks or months on end. I'm not, you know, trapping deer and skinning them and eating them over the campfire, because if I'm on the run like that, all the things I just said are very difficult to maintain. Or if I'm on the move, maybe is a better way to say that. If I'm maneuvering in that way. So I want to make my third line gear reasonable. I want it to be something that's also comfortable with my second line gear. So whether that's a chest rig from Hill People Gear or it's a full-on plate carrier and battle belt system and all that, throw your pack on. How does it fit? How does it work? If it rubs you raw somewhere, if the shoulder straps are too tight because your plate carrier is too big or bigger, I should say, whatever it may, it's not going to work. And then I need some way to rickety-tick ditch this shit. Right, like I want to be able to hit some quick release tabs or grab those handles underneath and zip them out of here. I want to be able to get out of this thing ASAP, so that if I need to do some quick maneuvering and potentially come back to this pack, I can do that without me being like, someone help me get my pack off. Like, I don't want to be doing that game mm-hmm. either. So these are all things to think about. And be real. Don't joke with yourself here. Be real. Put your shit on. Go do something for real. Learn some lessons. Fourth line. Now we're really looking at putting stuff somewhere else. And what I consider the fourth line. So lines one through three are kind of traditionally accepted. Line four is kind of this thing, you know, we've added. I don't really know when it started getting added, but guys like us started adding it at some point. And this is like your vehicle, your home,
your office.
This is where you cache stuff.
Yeah, where you cache.
Is it cash or cache?
I think it's cache.
I've always said cash, and it sounds stupid, but the English language is so goddamn retarded in how stuff's supposed to be pronounced. I never really know. I have heard people that are supposed to know more than me say it both ways. I'm going to look it up right now. It's cash. It is.
Is it?
It is cash. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's what it says.
The more you know.
That's what it says. A cash. Cash. K-A-S. H.
Cash.
As in cash money?
No, this is cash. Now, in a hiding place, especially for concealing and preserving provisions or implements, a secure place of storage, something hidden or stored in a cache, a computer memory with very short access time used for storage of frequently or recently used instructions.
Are you looking at Urban Dictionary?
No, Merriam-Webster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There you go. I have a higher than high school level education, babe. Here we go. You ready?
Cash.
Yeah, you tell him. You tell him, girl. All right, cash. So I have been saying it right. All right, well, there we go. Validated. Thank you very much. I'm better than I was 5 minutes ago. So your vehicle, your house, your office, your cash. All right, wherever it is that you put your stuff to be able to get to. Like, my vehicle has a bigger med kit. It's got more ammo. It's got more water. It's got more clothing. It's got more signaling. It's got more survival. It's got more tools. I mean, I...
Longer periods of time.
Yeah. I mean, my truck is a veritable fucking... Yeah, Drew knows what's in my truck. My truck looks like everyone else's truck, and if you climbed in the interior, other than the red med kit hanging off the seat, you would see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, you want to talk about being a live out of something for a long time. Yeah, I've got a lot. I keep a lot of good stuff in my truck, and I take it out. I'm no fool. I don't want to leave good stuff in there and get it stolen. I already had my truck broken into once. It sucked. And then if you take any of the valuable shit, they took stupid sentimental shit, which is worse. But, yeah, it was like easy to, you know, it's easy to store that kind of stuff in your truck. So my point is that fourth line gear is something that – this is the way I think of it. Something or somewhere else is holding it for you. Fourth line is held by something or somewhere else.
Yeah.
A truck, a car, a horse. Your horse is a fourth line gear. Saddlebags. Or your steel horse, right? Your motorcycle, your saddlebags. That's your, you know, if you're an off-road enduro type person.
I still want to shoot somebody off a horse. That's my life goal.
You watch too many Westerns.
We were just talking about this the other day, remember?
We capture people during the boogaloo. We'll get a horse. Hey, climb up on this horse real quick. Drew!
I'm going to take your new lever gun.
New lever gun. Rat-a-tat-tat. Shoot him off the horse. There you go. Your dream's been fulfilled. Can we move on now? Focus on more important shit. Shoot someone off a horse. Huh? They have to be riding a horse?
No, I want to be on the horse.
Oh, you want to be on the horse?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said, okay, you want to shoot someone off the horses and you're on the horse. You're shooting them from the horse.
Yes.
Saying from the horse, I feel, is a better English
That's
vernacular.
That's what I said.
You said off a horse. I want to shoot someone off the horse. You want to shoot someone from a horse. What if they were also on a horse? Is that like super fantasy? You shot from your horse to their horse and shot them off?
Maybe.
And then you gathered the horse up and made it part of your pack?
Yeah.
And then your horses fell in love and had babies?
And then I had all the horses and Zero, and then had more babies of Zero.
We're not talking about female dogs here. We're only talking about horse love.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying if I had a pack of horses or a herd of horses and a pack of Zeros, that'd be awesome.
All right. That would be your great fourth line, I guess.
But they could put packs on all of them.
Think of that. Think of that. All the stuff you could carry.
Z carries his own pack.
He does. That's actually an important point to make here is, you know, when we take Zero out, he's got his own pack.
Carries his own shit.
He carries his own water. He carries his own food. And he carries his own med supplies.
Yep.
And that includes even hemostats for pulling cactus out of his stupid ass. Right? All of his stuff he carries for himself. It's not my responsibility. And when the kids go out, they carry their own shit. It's their responsibility. You know, training your people to do this is important. Fourth line gear has an extra consideration. And that is security. Like I mentioned with my truck. Are you taking the stuff in and out with you? When are you leaving the stuff in? Obviously, I'm not. If I throw some extra, you know, bag of gear in there, I'm not taking it out when I go into the gas station to fill up. You know, that would be too much. What the fuck am I going to do with it, right? So you got to consider the security of the objects. You know, are you keeping these extra supplies in this fourth line gear secure to the point that no one can take them from you? In theory, so securing items is important in the fourth line. The fifth line. The fifth line, not a lot of people consider, but I will tell you is a very important part of my own personal planning. And I think the last time we talked about the line system, which has been a while back on the show, we didn't even talk about fifth line. But I'll tell you, it's an important part of my planning. And here's the fifth line. Resupply. Beyond what I prepared, where am I going to get more? And what do I have that can be easily resupplied? So, like, if my lights use a special type of battery, that blows. My resupply is likely to have double A's, triple A's, maybe a USB powered battery pack. You know, my ammunitions, I'm likely to have 5.56, 9mm, 7.62 by 39, 7.62 by 51. You know, those are common things I'm going to find. I'm not as likely to find 357 SIG or 454 Casull or whatever, you know, 6mm Creedmoor. Those are not the rounds I'm as likely to find if I'm looking at that resupply. So when I'm considering all of the stuff in my line gear, if I need to resupply it, where am I going to get it? Where's my best water source? Not the stuff I keep. How do I get there? Okay, we all have, you know, around here lots of canal water. Okay, well, first of all, remember that stuff can be turned on and off pretty easy.
Yeah.
But how, okay, so you're going to go filter the canal water. You're going to divert, which is possible, and filter the canal water. That water is nasty, right? So you're definitely going to have to filter it. Do you have a filter capable of filtering that kind of water? And how are you going to get access to it? And who's going to protect you while you're accessing it? And if you're going to store it somewhere, who's going to protect that storage? So a lot of this is just kind of – fifth line is thinking about how am I going to get access to stuff? If you have a vehicle, okay, how are you going to get the fuel for it? You're like, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to bike. I'm going to put it on my bicycle. Okay. How are you going to get extra tires? Do you have some crazy weird size of tire or some specialty tire you bought on your bike because it's really cool for doing XYZ type of mountain biking? That's cool, man. But then in the, you know, whatever, COVID apocalypse, your fucking bike breaks down and you have all these specialty custom parts you can't repair. Well, then you're screwed. Same thing with your vehicle. You know, I hate mechanicing modern vehicles, I'll admit. I despise it. I popped the hood. I changed the battery in the truck the other day and about sold the fucking truck and bought a new one just so I didn't have to replace the fucking battery. I mean, everything, doing anything in a modern vehicle blows. It absolutely blows. Even replacing the battery was a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got all this new shit on it. Like, my old truck, just, I don't even like my old, my 81. Oh, my old 81 beast. My old 81, man, you should fucking pop the hood, everything laid out, easy to do. Extra parts, you could probably fucking make them. You know, you could probably mine some ore and melt it down and cast it into a part and then make it for your fucking 81 Jimmy. Like, that's how simple this shit was.
Mm-hmm.
You could modify parts from other engines to work on that engine. No chance in hell of that happening on the 4Runner or the Ford.
Yeah, yeah.
Which lends me to another part of resupply.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason Drew and I got a Toyota 4Runner wasn't just because Drew wouldn't shut the fuck up about having a 4Runner.
Rude.
But also because it is a vehicle built for longevity.
Yeah.
There's Toyota 4Runners out there who have just been maintained, not insanely customized, just maintained, that have over 300,000 miles on them. And that's not uncommon.
And it's like the 4Runner community, they are super proud about how many miles they put on their 4Runners.
Yeah. It's like a thing.
It's like who can top each other with how many miles?
I got 280. I got 310.
So I just fucking crazy. There was a news anchor. I can't remember from what city is in the 4Runner, one of the 4Runner forums I'm in, and he just posted a photo that he has 299,000.99 on there. So he is literally a mile away from 300,000 miles, and they're like super proud about it.
Yeah.
And everybody keeps posting all their mileage, and they're like, oh my God, I can't wait till I get up there. And I'm like, well, I guess we're small fries having only 50,000 on ours.
Weak, pathetic.
We are. And we've only put that on in, what, 2 years?
Been a couple of years. But that's the point, right? So if you get to a resupply sustainment type thing, you're looking at a vehicle that could last you for years without ever breaking down. I mean, the reason that, you know, we all joke about, oh, God, we wish we could have Toyota Hiluxes here. We really do wish we could have Toyota Hiluxes here. Incredibly durable vehicles. You know, the Land Cruisers, incredibly durable vehicles. You can put these things in the hands of borderline barbarian retards, and they will just drive these things for years and years and years, held together with a shoestring, and they'll just keep running. I mean, they're turning these things into technicals and shooting weapons out of the back and just beating the shit out of these things and not properly changing the fluids and running them dry and doing all kinds of stuff, and they just keep going. So that's kind of part of the fifth line gear and kind of the fourth line gear a little tied into it, but also the fifth line gear more of thinking, How am I going to resupply my stuff? If you have something that needs custom parts, then buy extra parts. If you have a vehicle that you know, hey, man, at X number of miles, this stuff breaks, do your best to do that as soon as you can, maintenance-wise, or try to get those extra parts if it's something not like a transmission, because no one's going to keep an extra fucking transmission sitting around.
Some people do.
Yes, if you have the space. But, yeah, I mean, they're just that's kind of my point, is be thinking about the resupply now. That's the fifth line. Okay, shit has happened, whatever it is, and now I got to resupply. And sometimes it may be simple. Here's how simple it can be in the fifth line. I'm hunting. I am got drawn in a unit 4 hours from the house. I drive. I get there. It's early morning. I go to check my bag. I forgot my fucking ammo.
Yeah.
Shit. I look up the nearest small town. I can't drive 4 hours back home. Look up the nearest small town, Uncle Joe's gun shop. I go in there. He doesn't have my 6.5 by 47 Lapua ammo. It's a gray caliber, but he doesn't have it. He's got some 308 Winchester. He's got some 270 Winchester. He's got some 260 Remington. He's, you know, he's got 243. He's got your 30-06. He's got your common rounds. Probably these days he's got some 6.5 Creed. You know, he's got the common shit. So when you're looking at your line equipment, it's not only in the end of the world, you know, Boston Tea Party apocalypse, constitutional fight of 2000 and whatever year. It's day-to-day life. My batteries go dead in my flashlight. It uses some special rechargeable battery, and I can't recharge it right now. I just need some fucking batteries. Can I also put double A's in there? Can I also put 1-2-3s in there? You can even buy 1-2-3s these days from everywhere. They're very expensive, but you can still buy them, you know? And so that's something to think about too, is that fifth line. Like, how am I going to resupply my stuff? And if my stuff breaks, can I fix it? So I don't like to put a bunch of crazy custom parts on my normal, like, you know, EDC or duty guns, because I don't want to. If they break, I don't want to be like, oh, shit, well, it used to be a normal Glock, but then I modified it with all this, and now it can only accept this specialized firing pin, and now I'm screwed. I'm five states away because I flew over here to teach a class, and now my primary gun broke, and I look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, no problem, guys, I'm going to fucking air gun the rest of the day, and then tomorrow, you know, tonight I'm going to jam on down to Uncle Joe's gun store, and I can almost guarantee he's got something for me. We're going to figure this shit out, you know? Even if I got to put down some cash for a new pistol, at least I can take that and stick it in the same damn holster. You know, so that's that fifth line, is considering how am I going to get more of this stuff. So what do you guys think? Do you think we hit the lines well enough? Here's what I want from you guys on this show. You guys who are listening to this show, here's what I want. Give me some feedback. Here's the feedback I want. Really think about it. Here's the feedback I want. I want one thing that you heard us talk about today that you really took away. Like, oh, shit, I hadn't thought about that. I want that. And I also want one thing that you're like, I can't believe they didn't say, eh, whatever it was. And we'll talk about it on next week's show. Give me two things this week. Just send us a short email. Fucking do it. Every time I say fucking do it, you guys will do it. So I'm telling you right now, fucking do it. And I don't care if you hear this show months from now. Sometimes it'll be funny. I'll ask a question, and then like months from now, I'll get a response from listeners because they're just getting around to listening to that show or whatever. So I don't care when you do it. Whenever you do it, I'll talk about it on the next show, whatever the next show is after that. But drop us an email, info@trainingaz.com, or hit us up on a DM or something on Instagram or whatever, and just say, hey, I really took away this one point, and man, I really thought you missed this, or I really think this is more important than you thought it was, or whatever. Whatever you got. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear from you guys. Give us some feedback. Let us know you're actually out there. We like getting messages from listeners.
Yeah, we do.
And honestly, there's many days that I'll be like, I will get some great message from a listener. We had one just last week that I shared with Drew. It was really touching. And I'm like, well,
Glenn doesn't get touched very often.
I guess we gotta, I guess we have to, well, not since I was a Catholic, whatever, altar boy. Ever since then, I'm a little sensitive. I read this message to Drew, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm not quitting. Another week on the arms room. Another fucking week on the arms room.
Adam, we're still waiting for our
replacement. Still waiting for that replacement, Adam. 7 years later. But really, if you guys give us feedback, we really do appreciate it. You know, we like doing the show. We like... We like that we're putting information out there that people can use.
We like when people give us feedback. We like when people tell us that we're doing a bad job, a good job, or how we motivated them. We get a lot of people that will reach out to us and just drop us a thank you for doing what you guys do email. And it really is inspiring for us to continue this.
Here's the reality. It's the same thing with teaching, right? Yeah. Since I do that full time. It's the same thing with teaching. I'm not the best. I'm not the best at being a podcast host. I'm not the best.
Or I at producer, obviously, I'm not, from last
week's show. Based on last week's show. I agree. All right, so.
Goddamn kids.
Yeah, you blame it on the kids, and they weren't even the ones that messed it up, but that's a whole other thing.
Who said they did?
I don't know, but I don't think it was them.
Who the fuck was it then?
I don't know.
The magic elf fairies?
There is a gnome in this office that fucks with our shit. Yeah, not just the radio.
It's called Three Little Children. They're under the size of 4 feet tall.
It could be, I guess. I think it's random people coming in and out of here. But anyway.
Yes, children.
No, children. My point is, collectively, we're not the best. No one has ever claimed that. We're not the best at teaching. I'm not the best. I don't know who is, but it's not me. But I'm the one in the arena. I'm the one fucking doing it. And so as long as I'm the one doing it, I'm telling you guys, I'm doing the best I can. Mm-hmm. So if you think, man, I think you really missed this point on this show or any show, hit us up. If there's something like Drew said, you really got out of it, hit us up. One of my favorite things to do after every class that we teach, and we teach a lot, so I get the chance to do this a lot, and it's very gratifying to me and to the students, is we do a debrief at the end of every class, and we get the opportunity to hear from our students, what's the big thing, or sometimes we ask them to do things, but we always ask for at least one thing. What's the big thing or things that they took away from the show? Or I'm sorry, the class. What's the big thing that they took away? And sometimes we have what I like to refer to as accidental lessons. Someone learned something that I did not intend to teach them that day, but just because of their experience or because of how they interacted with me or one of the other instructors or maybe with one of the other students or a mistake that they made or an experience that they had, they learned this other lesson that we kind of didn't mean for them to learn.
Yeah.
That is a powerful thing to verbalize. It's powerful to verbalize what you've learned. That debrief is valuable. And I will say this. I may not be the best at teaching, but I will say if you take classes and they're not doing a debrief, that's not a very good class. I will say that. Like, there should be some kind of, hey, guys, what did we all learn? Because the value in that is that then people get to verbalize and reinforce what they learn. And it also tells the other students around them, oh, yeah, I remember that. Or, oh, hey, you know what? It's okay that I took that away because he took that away too. And that kind of validates that, hey, it really was important. And sometimes people are like, man, I went through the whole day today. I thought it was an amazing shooter. I came here, I just learned how to hold the gun better. Like, fuck, I came here to learn how to fight, and I've just been working on my grip all day. You know, I've been a pistol or carbine shooter or whatever for 20 years. I thought I had it down. You broke me down on my grip today. And I realized that was where my problem was. Sometimes that happens. And sometimes it's some deep concept or a legal concept. We don't get to do that with the show. At the end of a show, we just go, bye, and then Drew hits stop, and I go pee. I don't ever get a fucking debrief with any of the listeners. I don't get to go, okay, guys, what did you guys take away from the show today? What did you think that you really learned so that I know I want to talk about that stuff again in the future? Or what do you think you didn't learn so that maybe we can figure out how to get that? I've literally had listeners tell me things that they took away or that they wish we would have talked about and then invited them on the show. Some of our students who are like in digital security or they're in physical security have said, hey, you guys should talk about this. I'm like, well, fucking give me a date. You want to come on the show and talk about it then? Because I'm not an SME on that, but it sounds like you are, so let's party. Email us. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
We love it. Same with show ideas. Yeah. Man, I got a list of show ideas right now, including this show, I got a list of show ideas on my my document here that I keep for the show. And it's all from listeners. I don't have anything on here right now that is just my idea.
Yep.
It's all from listeners. So, including next week's show. So, send them in. info@trainingaz.com. What did Glenn and Drew do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? We got security film put on our most vulnerable window in the house, the place that would be the easiest for someone to access and the hardest to defend. And if you don't know what security film is, we're actually going to make a video about it because we want to demonstrate how good this shit is. So as soon as it cures up and next week he's got to put little finishing touches on it after everything dries, and we'll get all that put on. So look at the vulnerable spots in your home, in your business, and harden it up. Harden that target. Independence Training Moment brought to you by independencetraining.com or trainingaz.com. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you, get hosting information through that same web email address, info@trainingaz.com. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, and MRC Phoenix. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. If you've listened to the show and you've never checked them out, please do. I say that every week, and I don't know how many people do it, but you never know when those services may come in handy to you, or you may know someone who needs the services of an awesome, valuable organization built by a wonderful man named Adam Bird, who's a good friend of mine and just a damn good human being. Next week, we're going to be talking about buying guns as an investment and building a well-rounded collection and what that means to us. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.